There's one thing that's true of all people who reject the true God. They inevitably create their own gods. This is the enduring legacy of humanity, and it's the sad lesson of Israel's history. Today we come to Judges 17 through 18. This section of God's Word presents not only a warning against rebellion, but also a plea to embrace and cling to the truth of God's Word. This lesson is called Homemade Gods.
Following the death of Samson, no more judges are going to be sent by God to fight for Israel, to pray for Israel, or even to preach to Israel. And here's the main point. Four times in these final chapters here in the book of Judges, it says, there was no king in Israel. And that's Samuel the prophet's way of saying Israel was rejecting the authority of King Jehovah. And here's what happens when you reject the authority of God. Ultimately, you're going to create your own false religion. Now, Judges chapters 17 and 18 give us several characteristics of false religion, revealing what it looks like really for any person in any generation and in any nation to this very day. First, false religion is driven by personal convenience. Judges 17 begins with these words. There was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and also spoke it in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be my son by the Lord." Now, this is strange, isn't it? This man stole money from his mother, and his mother pronounces a curse upon whoever stole the silver. And this must have scared the young man because he gives the money back, but then she, you know, gives a blessing to basically counteract the curse. Then here in verse 3, she takes it a step further. She said, "I dedicate the silver to the Lord to make a carved image." So his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave it to the silversmith, who made it into a carved image, and it was in the house of Micah. Now, this little narrative tells us that the Israelites might use the name of God, but they are given over to idolatry. Frankly, it's more convenient, you know, to make their own little idol of silver than make a trip to Shiloh to visit the tabernacle of the true and living God. False religion is always popular because it's convenient and comfortable and is never convicting. Secondly, I want you to notice that false religion is robed in religious appearances. Verse 5 says this, "And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household gods, and ordained one of his sons, who became his priest." Well, in other words, Micah goes along with his mother's idolatry. He makes his own priestly garment and even ordains one of his sons to pretend to be a priest. I mean, all of it looks so sacred, but it's actually sinful. It looks impressive, but God isn't impressed with the way things look. And with that, a new character shows up here in verse 7. He's traveling, you know, through the area. He's a Levite. Micah invites him to stay in his home for the night. You'll remember, the Levites were set apart to serve the Lord. Only one branch of the tribe of Levi, those who descended from Aaron, were allowed to serve as priests. All the other Levites, which includes this man here, were supposed to assist the priests and provide spiritual direction for the nation. Well, this Levite's traveling through town, and Micah sees an opportunity here to, you know, sort of upgrade his little fake religion with a genuine Levite. So he offers Jonathan, the Levite here, this great deal, verse 10. "Be to me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year and a suit of clothes and your living," verse 11. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Now, this Levite doesn't have any more right to serve as a priest than Micah's son. This is totally contrary to God's word. And I got to tell you, to this day, millions of people around the world have fallen into this same error. They want the appearances of religion without a relationship with God through Christ. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to get their babies christened in some cathedral. They're going to get married by some minister. They're going to want somebody religious conducting, you know, the family funeral. They want the benefits of God, but they're going to ignore the word of God. That's false religion. That's false religion. Now, let me point out thirdly that false religion justifies sin. Chapter 18 now includes the rebellious tribe of Dan, and the plot sort of thickens here as verse 1 opens. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in, for until then no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent 5 able men to spy out the land and to explore it, and they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. Now this tells us the tribe of Dan had failed to conquer the land God had allotted to them. Rather than obey the Lord and remove those enemy nations, well, they started looking around for another piece of land to live on. So they sent out 5 men to check out the land, and they end up staying overnight here in Micah's house. Now they're surprised to find a Levite living in this house, and they ask him for his advice. Now, this Levite doesn't ask God for wisdom. He simply gives them false assurance. He says to them here in verse 6, "The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord. God's with you." Well, listen, that's just a bunch of baloney. He should have rebuked them for disobeying God, but instead he tells them what they want to hear. By the way, how many so-called preachers are telling people today what they want to hear rather than what the Word of God says? They are satisfying the itching ears of their audience, the Apostle Paul writes, rather than delivering sound doctrine, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Now, let me give you one final characteristic of false religion here. Number 4, false religion opens the door to even more superstition. See, later on when the tribe of Dan marches over to steal this land from a peaceful community of people who can't put up any resistance, they again stop over at Micah's house, and now they're going to hire Jonathan to go along with them. Verse 19 says, "They said to him, 'Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man or to be a priest to a tribe in Israel?' And the priest's heart was glad." Well, of course it was. He just got a promotion. So he took the carved image and went along with the people. So the tribe of Dan conquers the peaceful city of Laish, and they rename the city Dan. Verse 30 says, "And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves." In other words, they're setting up their false god and their false religion and their false priest. They want spiritual direction. They just don't want it from God. And let me tell you, beloved, today, most people are getting quasi-spiritual direction from people who deny the Word of God. In fact, many people, more people, believe in reincarnation today than in the reality of Jesus Christ. Millions of people today think their lives are influenced by the stars and the planets, rejecting the Creator. Many people today believe that, you know, they've had some kind of contact with somebody who died, all the while ignoring Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And what happens? Well, rejecting God's counsel always leads to greater spiritual confusion. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14, verse 6. So let's follow His way. Let's find the truth about God in His book we're journeying through together, because we are on a true wisdom journey. Well, until our next session together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for traveling along with us today on this wisdom journey through God's Word. This lesson is called Homemade Gods. Our ministry is enabled by a special group of people that we call Wisdom Partners. We show our appreciation for their support by providing them some additional resources, such as the manuscript, study guide, and Bible reading plan for the Wisdom Journey. Learn more at wisdomonline.org and join us next time.